welcome to our first ever podcast of the Psychologist for Peace interest group of the Australian Psychological Society. And please forgive me for now referring to that as the PFP. I'm Michelle and I'll be your host this fine day. I'm a psychology student with a passion for promoting peace and human rights. With this peace podcast, we're hoping to rev up your passion, diving deep into issues related to peace and conflict, and talking about how your psychology studies or other skills can help to promote peace. Being our maiden voyage and all, let's start with a bit of background on the PFP. The group's made up of psychologists and other professionals who are concerned about conflict in the world and who want to use their professional skills to promote peace through research, education, and advocacy. Peace psychologists are interested in how to reduce conflicts at all levels of society, within and between individuals, communities, and nations. With the United Nations International Day of Peace on September 21st, there's no better time for our peace podcast to tackle the big one, International Peace and War. What we know about it, how psychology is already being used to spread peace, and how we can get involved. A problem fundamental to all this is pinning down exactly what peace is. It's easy to think it's simply the absence of war, right? Well, that's what researcher John Galtung calls negative peace. But think about it. Just because there's no direct violence doesn't mean that a society is at peace. Structural violence occurs when the government or society's norms oppress, exploit, or deny services to some citizens. Often, the two forms reinforce each other. The oppressed use violence to rebel against structural conflict, and the government responds by further oppressing them. So, what we're really thinking of when we talk about world peace is nations free from violence, but also with attributes like social equality, political and religious freedom, and equal educational and economic opportunities. That's what Galtung called positive peace. Two possible causes of conflict that have been identified are poverty and inequality. And in turn, conflict often costs people their livelihoods and homes and may create new inequalities. In this way, a cycle is born. Inequality and poverty lead to conflict, which leads back to more poverty and inequality. A lot of international and non-governmental organisations like World Vision and Oxfam are working to relieve poverty and injustice before conflict arises, providing the poor and oppressed with improved access to food, clean water, education and healthcare, as well as economic opportunities to become self-sufficient. Many organisations are also working to support people during and after violent conflicts, like by setting up displaced persons camps, providing free food and other necessities, and helping people to return home and re-establish their lives once the conflict has subsided. Of special relevance to psychologists is the work of Médecins Sans Frontières, also known as Doctors Without Borders, or MSF. MSF provides free, impartial medical and psychological care to the many regions of the world affected by poverty, injustice, or conflict. MSF reports emphasise the traumas inflicted on people living through conflict. Things like bereavement, long-term displacement and fear, loss of social support networks, and witnessing or experiencing terrible violence. Not surprisingly, common presentations to MSF include post-traumatic stress disorder, anxiety, depression, substance abuse, domestic violence, and suicidal ideation. MSF works to strengthen coping mechanisms at all levels of society by providing counselling to individuals and groups, helping people to strengthen relationships within their families, and reaching out to communities with psychoeducation, social events, and training local personnel in mental health care. Psychology has also impacted conflict resolution practice, using insights into the mental processes of conflict and compromise to design non-violent conflict resolution methods. Rather than trying to suppress expression of grievances, conflict resolution involves airing issues constructively while minimising violence and social unrest. Peace psychologists have emphasised the importance of understanding the cultural context of all parties to ensure that communications, goals and behaviours are understood by all. Then, from this basis, all parties are encouraged to empathise with the needs, values and behaviours of each other, with a view to compromising and effective problem solving. Following conflict, psychologists may also be involved in rebuilding communities. A big part of this is establishing what the United Nations has termed a culture of peace, which is much like John Galtung's positive peace. A culture of peace is defined by factors such as social equality and justice, human rights adherence, peaceful conflict resolution as the standard method used, civilian involvement in government, education and social norms that promote peace, and building environmental sustainability into communities. Psychologists enter this picture at many levels. They might use counselling to promote positive peace in families, run psychoeducation sessions to teach peaceful conflict resolution, and use research to inform their policy recommendations. Another major task of psychologists is to help former combatants, displaced persons, repatriates, and others to integrate into a functional, peaceful society. What a massive challenge! To recap, peace psychology is involved at all stages of conflict, helping people to alleviate some conditions that can lead to violence, assisting with peaceful conflict resolution, and helping people to rebuild post-war societies. Yep, peace psychology sure has a lot to offer the world. But what about those of us who aren't involved as psychologists? A simple step? Talk to your friends or blog about your passion for peace. And keep yourself in the loop about what's happening around the world. Knowledge is power, folks. Pressure from ordinary people like us can prompt politicians and organisations to offer assistance or intervention to countries in conflict. People power is desperately needed to improve the resources being directed towards massive crises like the Darfur genocide. We need to keep the pressure on. If you're listening to this podcast in September and you want to get more involved, drop into any of the events happening around Australia this month to promote human rights, equality and peace. For full details, head back to the APS page where you found this podcast and look for the text document nearby. A couple of interesting ones. MSF is touring with its replica refugee camp open to the public. Experience what it could really be like as a displaced person. In September, they'll be in Canberra and then in Brizzy. On September 21st, there are a heap of events running to commemorate the United Nations International Day of Peace. Hands down the easiest? The UN Secretary-General, Ban Ki-moon, has called for a mass exchange of SMS messages to spread the word about the importance of peace and to celebrate the progress that's been made. Some related ideas include to spread the word by email, messages on Facebook or MySpace, or even to use the day to make up with someone in your life who you've been fighting with. Another one happening, the International Day of Peace Alliance is holding a one-hour peace vigil from 1 to 2pm on the Sunshine Coast to commemorate the special day and to remember the victims of conflict. And finally, for something with a bit more action, the Stand Up for International Peace comedy shows are being held in Sydney and Brisbane the night before the day on the 20th. And if you're listening after September, I hope you had a great International Day of Peace. And I hope that you look out for ways to keep involved in your community. For now, I'd best wrap up, but keep your eyes peeled for another edition. I'll leave you to ponder an abbreviated version of one of my favourite quotes from a speech by the 34th President of the USA, Dwight Eisenhower. It goes, "Every gun that is made, every warship launched, every rocket fired signifies, in the final sense, a theft from those who hunger and are not fed, those who are cold and not clothed. The world in arms is not spending money alone. It is spending the sweat of labourers, the genius of its scientists, the hopes of its children. This, I repeat, is the best way of life to be found on the road the world has been taking. This is not a way of life at all, in any true sense. Under the cloud of threatening war, it is humanity hanging from an iron cross." You've been listening to Michelle with the Peace Podcast on behalf of the PFP. For more information or to contact the Psychologists for Peace Interest Group, go to groups.psychology.org.au/PFP. And don't forget to head back to where you found this podcast and check out the accompanying Word document for details about peace events happening in September, a full transcript of the podcast, and for info on where to send feedback on the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. Peace out. We'll be right back.